Hello, welcome to Not War Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. And in this video, we're going to be talking about the Civil War, not the one from the upcoming film, which I'm actually quite excited about, but the Civil War that exists in the heart of Games Workshop. Pretty inflammatory title, I'm sure. A thumbnail and a title to match. So you've jumped in and you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Okay. I want to prefix a couple of things before we get into the information. Most of this is relating to the squatting or the destruction or the discontinuation of the Beast of Chaos and the Bone Splitters range that we've just seen literally a couple of days ago, whenever this video goes out. Okay, and the things I'd like to prefix before we get started is, while I did work at Games Workshop for 2 years, and I was their lead presenter for their TV department, and one of the few people, and the marketing department at that time was only about 5 people. So to say that I had conversations with all of the key elements of the business would be an understatement. I was in quite a lot of like high meetings and positions and really started to understand how the business worked. However, that was 8-9 years ago now. I think it was like 8. And so things may have changed. So everything I'm about to talk about is my opinion and is based on my experiences then and also my continued relationships and experiences with people at the company now, people who've left the company, for example. We've had long chats. All sorts of things. So again, though, this is an opinion. And you don't have to believe me and you don't have to agree with the things I'm saying. I'm just going to let you know what I think has recently happened and kind of give some context to some stuff that has been going on. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because yesterday, loads and loads of people were asking me in the YouTube comments about what I was talking about when I was talking about the Civil War inside Games Workshop. And the reason I want to make this video is I thought that this was really common knowledge. Now, if you don't know, I make lots of content about lots of different war games, but also I have another channel called Square-Based where me and my partner Val on that, we discuss all of the old world information. And we've been talking a long time about the internal Civil War at Games Workshop between Specialist Design Studios, which you will know as Forge World. So Forge World got reimagined into this thing called Specialist Design Studios. And I guess Games Workshop or Citadel Main. Okay, so those are the two factions that we're going to talk about right now. Okay, and they have always been different entities. If you're new to Games Workshop as a business, but you're new or you're new to Games Workshop as a kind of like an enterprise, most people just engage with it as the people that make Warhammer. They don't really care. But what happens is that those businesses or those departments making decisions really affect the game that you play. Let's talk about how. Okay, let's try to give some context. Forge World is run by a guy called Tony. Tony has effectively got an indie development company inside of Games Workshop Main. How he ever got it, I don't really know. You have to remember that Games Workshop has really professionalized over the last 8 years. And before that, and especially when I joined, it was still effectively a mom and pop operation, which is going to sound crazy, I know, because it had this whole building site in Lenton and factories and shops the worldwide. But you'll hear constant stories about how it's incredibly badly run. It's like because they don't hire in professionals, or at the time when I was there, they didn't hire in professionals. Instead, they hire in people for best fit. We could talk about that forever. That's kind of the side point. I apologize for getting sidetracked. The important part is that it's not built well. I mean, what corporation is built well? I don't know. Like, it's not built well. And so at some point, Tony was allowed to have his own independent department internal to Games Workshop. Okay. And then from there, they have produced the Horus Heresy as an example. They produced a bunch of early, like, Warhammer Fantasy Battle stuff. They did a lot of the Heresy stuff. They did all the armored stuff. It was kind of seen as, like, you know, the traditional department versus, like, the new and exciting Games Workshop, like, forward-thinking team, right? Expert kits is kind of, you know, or, like, traditional hobbyists, something like that. I think that's a fair way to put it. Okay. Now, this is the very crux of what we're seeing today and what we've seen in 40K as well, what we're seeing in Age of Sigmar, what we're seeing in the old world. What happens in Games Workshop is every single department has a profit and loss sheet. So what they do is they sell products to each other. So the sculptors will make miniatures and then they'll sell those to, it's not called Books and Box Games actually now, but the department that make the rules and they kind of package that to delivery to us as the consumer, that part. And they'll be like, we're going to sell you this. And they're like, great, we'll take that. Then that department then sells those I know it's going to sound odd because they don't sell them, but they wooden dollar sell them. They sell them off to the different sales channels. So like web is one. So like the website, trade, which is where you have like all your local gaming stores in that department. And then like the actual Games Workshop stores. And then they all kind of like trade will be like, we want 10,000 boxes or whatever it'll be. And then there is a department in the middle who forecast how much to make and all that other stuff. But effectively that's how it works. They're all siloed businesses away from each other. And the reason that's done is so you can be like, okay, how did you, like, did your department make more money this year than it did last year? Like, how are you improving? What are you doing? Again, I'd like to be clear, this is how I understand it to work or how I understood it to work at the time, and not necessarily how it definitely works. So that's how it works. Therefore, Forge World's profit and loss sheet is separate to Games Workshop's profit and loss sheet. So if you go and buy some Lord of the Rings minis, then Forge World or Specialist Design Studios has made that money. And then the other department hasn't made that money. Where does marketing come into this? As far as I understand it, marketing comes out of Games Workshop Main and doesn't come out of Specialist Design Studios, or it didn't when I was there. And one of those things that is really important is that might still be true, which is why you get really negative messaging from the marketing team about SDS stuff. Like, and generally, in my opinion, SDS stuff and the SDS community and staff are pretty unhappy with how the marketing team deliver and talk about their products, and they get a lot of information wrong. But maybe that's true for all of it. I don't know. But anyway, I'm kind of muddying the water there. I don't need to. So you've got these two different profit and loss sheets, okay? So what happens when you've got something like Beasts of Chaos, which is a really good example? Beasts of Chaos get announced to be in the old world. Okay, cool. So if you buy a Beasts of Chaos model at the moment, it would have gone into like the Age of Sigmar or Games Workshop's main profit and loss sheet. So then Forge World or SDS wouldn't make that money. That's how it works. So they don't make that money, and they do make that money, which is not cool. Okay. Now, I don't know who fired the shot first, whether or not it was Specialist Design Studios or whether or not it was Games Workshop Main. However, at some point, the decision was reached, like it was in 40K, the decision was reached that never should the two mix, and those profit and loss sheets should be broken up even more distinctly. So, as an example with 40K, what we saw is for 9th edition 40K, you could play with all of the Heresy miniatures, all of the, not the Mechanicum ones. I'll never forgive that, never forget. You could play with any of the Forge World minis. So, you know, you could go and take like a giant Warlord Titan and play in 40K, although you couldn't play in competitive 40K, but loads of the other stuff you could play in competitive 40K. A good example of one of the really famous ones that we saw in comp 40K was the Leviathan Dreadnought. It got taken loads in 9th edition 40K. They sold a million of them. However, mainline Citadel didn't make loads of them, didn't make any money. All of the Leviathan Dreadnoughts that you bought, the money went to Specialist Design Studios and didn't go to Games Workshop Main. That's why we saw the new Horus Heresy edition. You might have seen it as like it becoming more accepted, but what you're actually seeing is an agreement on those sheets so that you could get that sold in mainline but not spread into 40K. That way 40K has got a spreadsheet and then Heresy has got its own spreadsheet. Does that make sense? And so now when we flop over to Age of Sigmar and the introduction of the old world, which I guess definitely if you're a Beast of Chaos player, you're like, oh, well, you introduced the old world and now I lose my army. That's sad. I understand. But they could have just not done this. And this siloing of their business creates a really negative impact on the audience. And also, the non-communication about how it works is also a massive problem as well, right? So what's happening now is Beasts of Chaos are not, and Bone Splitters are not allowed to be in Age of Sigmar, because if you bought those minis, that would go to the old world and they're being moved over. There are some positives and negatives of this. If you go and look at the profit and loss, sorry, if you go and look at the factions which have not been announced as mainline factions in the old world, for instance, Ogres are an Age of Sigmar range that hasn't had almost any updates since Age of Sigmar launched. So you're like, oh, maybe they're going to get cancelled. No, they're not going to be cancelled because they are not an old world core faction. And instead, they will get updates in Age of Sigmar at some point. And that's how, and we've been talking about this for months on the Old World show, and I thought it was very common knowledge in the Age of Sigmar community and the wider community, but apparently it isn't. And I just thought I would break that down for you into a simple to understand kind of explanation. And so I just like to point out that I don't agree with any of how they build their business or integrate their business. Even when I worked there, I thought some of the processes that they used were really silly to work out who made what money and who did what. I guess I haven't had to build a company or a structure of that size. And so this might be a really competent way of doing it. And let me know in the comments below this video if you think it's the right way to put this together or silo off all of these profit and loss sheets. It seems odd, and you obviously don't want to be losing money. I feel like you could globally track all of the different sales. It's the same thing that we have with Kill Team and 40K. Kill Team's considered to be one of the most successful games out there. And it should be, right? It's got this massive IP backed up by a massive game that is 40K. And it's really easy to buy into. Super easy to buy, like, just a box of minis, paint them up and start playing. So it's got all of the pros of 40K with none of the cons, where there's this massive barrier to entry to get into it. However, I would argue most of the Kill Team kits, I'm not saying Kill Team isn't popular because it is, but most of the Kill Team kits are probably bought by 40K fans trying to use in their 40K armies. Like, I would argue, or at least some speculatively bought into their armies. Same with Warcry for Age of Sigmar, where lots of those kits, and also Underworlds, lots of those kits have always got War Scrolls in Age of Sigmar, and then have been usable in Age of Sigmar. I would say, and if you go back and look at the article from yesterday, it does say that Underworlds is no longer going to get War Scrolls in Age of Sigmar. And my reasoning for that is, I'm assuming what they're doing is siloing off Underworlds to see if it's even remotely profitable when not done in conjunction with mainline Age of Sigmar. So you don't buy the minis to use in Age of Sigmar. And that's their only real way of working stuff out for themselves. I don't think Underworlds is necessarily getting canned. I don't think that at all. I don't think Warcry is getting canned. I don't know if it is, or I don't think so. But that what they're trying to do is work out that information. Do I agree with this business practice? No. Do I think it's silly to be having literally a divorced battle online in front of their audience where different miniatures are getting, like, literally Beanie Baby pulled apart at the end of the divorce? No, I think it's silly. I think it's really childish and really silly. I think the fact that there aren't ongoing rule supports for all of the different ranges over the years is also silly. In addition, I think the rules teams and the people who create the rules so that we can play games should be expanded and also paid more as well, which is also something. It's not really how they work. Games Workshop are the Tinder Swindler of war games. You know, they get you in, they make you feel great, they take a load of money, and then they just ghost you. And that's how they work. And that's how they've always worked. Do I agree with it? No. Do I support it? I support it as little as I can without, you know, spite it, like cutting my nose to spite my face. If there's a range that I like, I buy it. But I buy it knowing that it isn't always going to potentially be supported. And that's something that you need to be conscious of as well. I rarely buy books, rarely buy books, because I know for a fact they're definitely going out of date. For no surprise, the Age of Sigmar 4 book that's about to come out is going to be invalid in 3 years when they do Age of Sigmar 5. So just going to this hobby and game to, you know, like, understand how it works and then make your purchases based on that information. That's the only thing I'm going to say. I want you to make the right choices for you. And I don't want you to be at this stage where we're at now, where people are hurt and upset and, you know, communities are being broken apart. I think it's rubbish and sucks. Anyway, I hope this video makes sense. Again, just what I think and works as I understand it works right now. All support and love to all the creatives who work inside Games Workshop. There are tons of creatives who want to make great art. They want to make great sculpts. They want to make great games. There's loads of those people in that company. And they are always done a disservice by the company outside of them. And to round this show off, that's because of capitalism. Thanks very much for listening. I'll see you soon.